You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
What is that from?
What?
That clip.
It's from A&E.
A&E intervention?
Yeah.
So somebody was an intervention.
Being intervened and somebody made it a mix.
Do you have the original clip?
No. Yeah, I got it here somewhere.
Hey, welcome to episode 197.
Yeah, can we start off with that at least? Already you're like,
excuse me. Is that the original? What is that from exactly?
Anyway, this is John and Scott, Total Talk Nonsense 197. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is the best cry ever.
Somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
I feel horrible because this guy is probably strung out on crack or heroin. And I'm laughing at him crying. But you send me the link, so it's okay. Is that it? Hello.
I think so.
What are you doing?
What do you mean? Hey, we got a big announcement.
To say? That's great. What's the big announcement, you moron?
Stephen Hawking has joined us for
what
episode 197.
What is this other shit you're sending me? You sent me more stuff? What is this?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
How laughing out loud.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking is here, John.
Is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've
ever
heard.
Oh, don't insult Stephen Hawking.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah, we need to start over.
Why?
Theater of the mind.
What? What am I supposed to do? You send me links, and what am I supposed to do with them?
I sent you that before the show started.
Yeah? And yeah. I said, should I play this song?
And I played it.
And you said, yeah.
But I played it.
Yeah? What are you saying? And you played it?
Yeah, before the show, I played it.
You played what? The crying thing?
Yeah. No, the link that you just played.
You didn't play it. I played it.
Should we just call it?
What is the problem, man?
We have the great Stephen Hawking joining us.
Yeah, and you sent me a link. What was I supposed to do with it? I didn't know you were going to have Stephen Hawking talking already. You want to let me know?
Well, think about the logistics of that. How do we get him down here?
I mean,
during break?
He fell down the stairs.
Is he going to come over during break?
Yeah, but I didn't know you were gonna turn his mic on already. Can't you just quiet him down? I mean, I know his lips don't move.
We're not going to have the great Stephen Hawking here and not have him contribute.
From the get-go? I told you I was going to play the
John,
music.
John, we have Stephen Hawking here. We'll turn his mic off until we're ready to talk to him.
Well, you said you had a big announcement to make. Stephen Hawking's here. And I'm like, okay, that's great. We'll get to him when it's time. All of a sudden, he's babbling away.
Yeah.
I don't know how he talks on a mic anyway, because he can't talk.
It's great to be back.
Oh,
where
thanks.
Phil McCracken and Whitcomb, laughing my fucking ass off.
Yeah, he's a good sport.
That's what I get for plugging him into his little wheelchair. There's no mic on him. He just talks. What does he do? Is he blinking his eyes or something?
Yeah, he blinks. He's got a blink recognition machine.
Here's what I want to know. Are we sure somebody hasn't hacked into his blink recognition machine and he's not saying that shit at all?
He might not be.
How do we know he's actually talking?
We're gonna accept it.
Just because
on
he's
faith.
Here and he's drooling doesn't mean that he's necessarily blinking his eye to make all those words. You think?
Laughing my fucking ass off.
You're making him laugh.
Oh, well, thanks for the translation. All right, I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And we're back on 197 here.
Sir, well, what?
A little slow start. What?
So is there going to be post-production
involved?
Oh, yeah,
involved? We'll fix all that. It'll all be beautiful.
So are we going to count down then?
Sure, however you want to do it. You know, some people think this part of it's
funny.
We should
have just gone to the movies.
You're such a baby, man. You make me do all this work, fetch you some water. Hey, where's the program? And then I do, and then this is how you treat me.
What do you mean treat you? I'm just suggesting that we start over for the theater of the mind.
All right, start over. What do you want me to do?
To create the theater of the mind.
Give me some direction.
I say we go right to Stephen Hawking.
Okay. Stephen? Oh, that's
yes.
Big pause there is great. What's wrong with his neuroceptors? His neural devices?
I don't know.
Come on, Stephen. Get with it. Spit it out. Dude, man. Well, at least
shit.
We know you're not like ventriloquism there over there.
Right. It's not me, man.
Can you drink and Stephen Hawking talk at the same time?
Yeah. No doubt.
What the fuck was that?
That was my ice
cube. Did you chug the water?
I did. I'm very dehydrated.
All right. Stephen? Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott. And we have a very special guest in studio.
We do?
That's right. Can
who?
You guess?
Who?
Well, you know who it is because it took 3 hours to get him down here and set up.
Can you apologize? I'm so sorry, man.
I'm so sorry.
I have really bad stairs.
I apologize.
My stairs are really bad.
Yeah.
And he fucking took a header, man. The worst is, like, he can't put his hands up or anything. So he gotta, like, flop down the stairs like a rag doll.
It's better that way because he's relaxed,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he can't feel anything.
Right. And we're talking about the great...
Was blinking his eyes really fast. I don't know what he was...
Stephen
I couldn't
Hawking.
Understand what he was saying.
Great Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
Hey, it's great to be here.
He's so excited. Hey! I thought almost he did like a Harry Carey. But, hey, it's great to be here.
Stephen, you... Mr. Hawking? Dr. Hawking? You're a sir, aren't you? Didn't he get knighted, John?
I don't know, man.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Very good.
That is correct.
Hey, I saw you on The Simpsons. Did you see that episode, John, where he was on The Simpsons?
No, I didn't.
How did that come about?
My daughter Lucy knew one of the script writers of The Simpsons, who wanted to write an episode involving me. I accepted immediately, because it would be fun, and The Simpsons is the best thing on American TV.
Wow.
Well, here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Okay, he's on The Simpsons.
Yes.
Was he really on The Simpsons? Did he, like, blink his lines and then they...
I don't understand your question.
Well, apparently, if we are on The Simpsons, it's our voice that's talking on The Simpsons.
Oh, I see.
If he's on The Simpsons, all he can do is, like, move his eyeballs really quick and then they say something. Well, not his eyeballs, exactly. Not like Mr. Bunghole.
Laughing my fucking ass off. That's funny, John.
Oh, you make a good point there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was him, right? It was you, right?
Spit it out!
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me,
Yeah, it was him, man.
All right. I mean to get him upset.
Yeah. All right, he's adjusting himself.
How's he doing that? Are you helping him?
Yeah, he's turning his head the other way. He doesn't like to look at me, I guess.
Can he actually turn his head?
Simpsons, so what about the Family Guy? Do you like the Family Guy?
Jiggity, jiggity.
Right on. You know what that means, John?
No.
Me neither.
Jiggity, jiggity.
So, what do you like about John and Scott? Because you are a big fan. You've been a big fan for a while. What is it about our show that you like?
Blessed are they who can laugh at themselves, for they shall never cease to be amused.
Oh, that's very...
profound.
Yeah, very good. All right, well, he's going to sit in and later he'll participate in Science News. But definitely feel free to blink and chime in. At any point in the
show. You know, is it true you were also on a skit on Late Night with Conan O'Brien?
Hold on, he's blinking.
That is correct.
Who'd you make a phone call to in that episode?
Hold on, he's blinking his eyes. You know, it sounds like a keyboard when he blinks his eyes.
Does it? It's like... Hello?
What was the question again?
It was, he made a call or something on the show to somebody.
That's funny, John.
What else were you on? I thought you were on Star Trek Next Generation, too, were you?
You know as well as I know.
Yeah, I do. I'm looking it up on Wikipedia. Can you do that? Can you, like, blink your eyes really fast and...
And you know what? And you know what?
No, I don't. I don't really know what. I don't know what.
And you know what? We can't keep making shit and buying shit until indefinitely...
Laughing my fucking ass off.
All right, moving on, man.
Laughing my fucking ass...
What happened? He like shorted out. Did he spill his drink?
No. What happened?
Steven, do you drink?
My fucking ass off.
All right then.
Hold on, he's blinking.
Okay.
I wonder how it works because he blinks and then it registers. Like when he must like blink, I'm finished. And then it spits it out.
Period.
Just as the universe is finite, we can't keep making things and buying things until indefinitely without laughing out loud.
I didn't get that second line there.
I didn't either.
All right. Just chill out over there. He's enjoying a nice Glenlivet.
How does he drink it?
Through his straw.
It's out of sight.
It is out of sight.
All right, then. Well, the beginning of the show is kind of stumbling along.
Yes. It's kind of hard to get a rhythm with it because he's blinking again. So I don't know. It's hard for the rhythm, the give and take of a conversation.
Right.
What does Thinnock and Daniel Sex have in common? If you...
What? What? What happened?
I think he's trying to tell a joke. Hold on.
What does Thinnock and Daniel Sex have in common?
Did you get that?
I've lost him. What was that?
I think he said, what do spinach and anal sex have in common?
I don't know.
Hold on. Blinking.
If you were forced to have it as a kid, you'll hate it as an adult.
Yeah, that's funny.
If you were forced to have it as a kid, you'll... Oh, God.
That's kind of off color.
Oh, that is a little bit.
For a Stephen Hawking.
It's out of sight.
It is out of sight.
That is one big pile of shit.
All right, John, moving on. We had a very busy week.
Yeah.
We had a gig.
Had a gig, yeah.
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 The Pick and Tap, May 8th, Facebook, that we had, what, like 14 confirmed people?
Yeah.
We had 64 maybes.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of those people showed up.
Not a one.
Not one.
Well, yeah, out of the confirmed, I showed up.
Well, I showed up. Yeah.
That's so two of them.
Two out of the confirmed.
12 more.
Joe, the first guest we had on our show, did not respond in Facebook, and he showed up.
Yeah.
So that was the only one.
It's really tough to gauge people if they don't show up, you know, and then they do show up and they don't... post, you know, that they're gonna attend or not. You follow me?
Not really. Maybe Stephen Hawking does, but I don't.
Let's wait for his response. It's great, man. All right, I guess.
Don't no, get it.
There we go.
I don't get it.
It's really tough to know when he's going to actually say anything.
It is.
Throws off the timing of the joke.
Timing, yeah.
Are you okay there, man? What's wrong with you?
Oh, that's the other thing I got to talk about. We want to talk about the gig first, or are we going to take this in chronological order?
Oh, I don't care.
So I'm out on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from work. I go to the doctor Tuesday. I got a sinus and ear infection.
Wow.
Like, what is the deal? I see the guy. I'm like, hey, I had H1N1 and pneumonia. I should have like a free pass for 12 months. Why the hell am I back in here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sinus and ear infection. So I've been on antibiotics, you know, John.
Yeah.
My head's been just constantly draining, but keeps producing stuff.
Yeah. Ooh.
And draining and producing. And my wife has the same thing. And it's just awful. Awful. So then practice Thursday, you know, we had practice. And during break, we're going to hear two songs from practice. But I had to get a chair because I don't know if I'd be able to stand up the whole time.
Yeah.
Very weak. Very
scary.
Weak.
Yeah.
So then, we had the gig and then nobody showed up.
Yeah, we're like, let's call it at 9. And you go, well, I want to go over a couple more songs. Turned out like 20 more songs we had to go over.
Yeah.
We just started calling them out off the sheet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We ended up playing till 10:30.
What are you talking about? The gig or
the practice?
Practice,
man. Did you move on?
Yeah, I was talking about the gig, so I'm confused again.
As usual. Well, you never leave anything for me to poke in there.
So
it's always
practice.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay.
I was calling out more songs at practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Are you okay, man?
No, I'm not. I'm depressed.
Why are you depressed? What's the matter?
Because we have a gig, like two people show up. Why bother?
Oh, so what?
And then one of them that shows up is I don't want to deal with that. I got enough problems.
I love you so much.
Yeah.
I love you guys. You guys saved my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
What's the matter, man? Are you okay?
And why bother?
Why bother with what?
With the band.
Why are you saying that? Oh, so you want to quit? We should be looking for a new bass player?
No, I'll do the track gig.
And then that's it?
I don't know.
Really?
No.
Really? Come on.
I don't know, man.
So what's the problem? What seems to be the issue?
There's no issue. Actually, Rick actually put a set list together.
Nice.
For this gig. And then he didn't follow it.
Exactly. Do you think he was gonna?
Yeah. He went through the first six songs, and then he just tossed the rest of it
off. He's never followed anything he's ever said he was gonna do. Ever.
Yeah.
That's why he's called 50-50.
Thought we played pretty well.
Yeah.
Got some new songs in there. Yeah. Oh, some people from work showed up.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it wasn't a total loss. We got paid.
We did get paid. Yeah. We got cash.
Not the amount we were supposed to. But.
No. No. But it was, you know. And so then the Arlington gig, yeah, that's the other thing. We're supposed to be playing July 5th, but you looked at the website and there's no
nothing.
July 5th information. So we don't even know if we're playing. Do we know if we're playing?
Yeah.
We are playing.
Yeah, I signed a contract.
There was a contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they could cancel that at any time.
Would they still have to pay us?
No.
Oh.
That's the way it works. If we can't do it, we have to find somebody to replace us. If they decide they don't want to do it, they don't have to do anything.
We can find anybody to replace us?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah. Why, you can't do it?
No, I can do it.
Yeah, so what's your problem, man? This is all new to me.
What do you mean new to you?
This is all new to me about the band and you complaining.
Well, I complained at the gig, didn't I?
What did you
complain
about?
I said, what are we even doing this for?
I didn't hear that.
No? Yeah. Our number one fan really got me down.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean got you down? I mean, personally, maybe, but from a band perspective?
Yeah. If I wasn't in the band, I wouldn't have met him, and I wouldn't have had to hear that. That's how my logic works.
That's great. All right.
Yeah.
That's it?
I haven't heard from him yet, though.
What, did you give him your phone number?
Yeah, like a year ago. He still has it.
Oh. Well, he's not going to call you. He doesn't remember.
I hope he doesn't.
He's carrying a pocket full of plastic booze. He had a plastic bottle of vodka in his pocket.
Nice. So what else happened this week?
Nothing as far as I'm concerned.
Nothing?
No. No, just, you know, the regular crap, busy, you know. Busy. We had all kind of, you know, whatever, you know, like son's baseball and shit like that going on, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my daughter made a Facebook account. That's great.
I saw that.
Yeah, what did she ask you to be a friend?
Yeah, I won't be friending your daughter.
Yeah, I gotta have a talk with her.
Why did you give her a Facebook account?
I didn't. She just went. She created like three accounts.
What do you mean? Without your permission?
Yes.
Oh, our daughter's not allowed to do stuff like that. See, she has her own laptop, but she has everything is very strict. She can get online, but we have filtered all the websites she's allowed to go to.
How do you do that?
Well, with the Comcast account, you get like Norton, for example.
Norton.
And you go into the administrative settings. You set up your administrative password and all that. And then you set up your user groups. And my daughter's ID and her user ID is a user. And then you just filter out. You put in what websites they can go to. Real simple. and then you're set.
So what websites can she go to?
Like Stardoll.com and, I don't know, like Wikipedia for homework. There's a couple like math and science sites. And
that's pretty cool.
Some games like for Sims and stuff like that.
Facebook is not on there, though.
No, when she's not allowed to have that. She will have that after her eighth grade graduation.
Oh, I see. Eighth grade.
Yeah. It's about reward, man, you know?
Right.
Because she's got the phone, the cell phone. She does all this texting all the time. She's limited to the amount she's allowed to text. You know, it's kind of getting her there is technology that we got to let them learn. Because it's no matter what, when they get older and at work, they're going to have this technology. And there's kids that are, you know, some kids are just way ahead with everything. And then there's others that don't even touch it at all. And then there's those in the middle, kind of like our kids. They have phones, but they're only allowed certain things. Like my son, he has blocked phone numbers and he can text people, but they don't get him because he's not allowed to text or call certain numbers. He's only got a certain amount of numbers he's allowed to call. And they're all our numbers, you know, emergency numbers.
I see.
And maybe like two friends.
What service is that?
Verizon.
A Verizon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got it, you know, for emergencies and stuff. And daughter, too. But they do not have Facebook. She will eventually. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of her friends already in school have gotten in trouble. You know, they put pictures and videos and shit like that. Getting themselves in trouble by posting racy stuff. And they're, you know, 7th, 8th grade. What the fuck's that?
Right. Right. That's not right. It's wrong. It's what it is.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing, man. Should have gone to the movies.
What's your problem, man?
I don't know,
Why do you put me through this? Why?
Through what,
man? What did I do to you?
What do you mean, put you through what? What am I putting you through?
What do you mean? Why are you asking me a question? You know exactly what I'm saying. I do all this stuff, and then you just... You complain.
What am I complaining about?
We should have went to a movie.
Not because of you, because of me.
What's wrong with you? I just asked you that.
I'm mental. That's what's wrong.
And what's wrong?
I don't know.
What's wrong, man? Let's have an intervention.
I don't know.
Somewhere down in my I still love you.
I do, Scott. I don't know, man.
No!
Damn. So what else happened, man? Why are you so bummed out?
I don't know. Oh, Rick did say something pretty interesting. I can't remember if it was at practice. I think it was at practice. Rick's asked the question, can somebody be too dumb
to be a Republican? Yeah. That's a tough question for me. I don't get it.
You don't get it.
Can someone be too dumb?
Right. Can you be too dumb to be a Republican?
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is it possible? And the same goes for a Democrat.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You can't be too dumb.
Right.
You could be the dumbest ever and still be.
Well, like Sarah Palin, to me, is one of the dumbest people ever. And she's one of the leaders of this.
Oh, clearly the quintessential leader, because they're paying her to back other Republican candidates up who can't get the votes to take over whatever seat that they're vying for. So they have her speaking for them on their behalf.
I mean, that's retarded.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you can. It doesn't matter. You can be dumb.
You can be so dumb and still be.
Not only be a Republican, you could be a Republican leader.
Republicrat.
A Republicrat?
Yeah. A Demican.
I saw a movie, John.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you see?
On Max's, Matt's suggestion.
No, it was Max.
Is it Max? I thought it was Matt.
Max.
That's what I meant. Max, man. You see? I'm just not.
What's wrong with you, man?
My senses aren't firing adequately. I saw the invention of lying.
Oh, right. With Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. And Jennifer Garner does a great job.
How'd you like it?
I liked it.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's a universe where everybody tells the truth. Not only do they tell the truth, they feel impelled to tell the truth.
Ah.
So, like for us, even, you know, we may think something, but we would never say it. These people just say it, whatever's on their mind. And it's always the truth. So for some reason, this guy who plays this character is played by Rick. How do you say his name?
Gervais.
Finds out that he can lie. And it's interesting.
He does it brilliantly.
It is. It's brilliant, John. It's brilliant. Yes.
Well, speaking on that subject matter, let me play you a phone call. We got this week. All right. This might cheer you up a little bit.
Okay.
It's from a fan.
John and Scott, just listened to 196. Loved it, as usual. This is Connor in D.C. And just to answer your question about the content comment, looking for more content. Basically, here's the way I see it. In terms of iTunes, because that's really where I get my podcasts, you guys, the best podcast on iTunes. I started out with Ricky Gervais a few years ago, listened to everything and plus all their old radio shows, hours and hours of it, and got into Adam Carolla a little bit, and he's pretty funny, but you guys, it's the best one. And it's just not enough of it. So what I'm saying is get some sponsors, do what you got to do, quit your lousy jobs, and go all the way. Do it. You can do it. And, as far as Marty, Scott, I wasn't trying to get down on you. Marty's just, I get Marty. He's a funny guy. We need to have him back on, man. I need to hear him. He's the funniest damn bastard that you guys have had on there for sure. But anyway, yeah, again, love the show. Get some sponsors. Do what you got to do. If Adam Carolla can get sponsors, you guys can get sponsors.
I don't need anything.
Just got to hustle, man. Hustle, market, do it, you know? That's where I'm coming from. You get a little more twice a week, three times a week. Go every day, you know? That's what I'd like to see. They're pumping that stuff out, man. All right, guys. Have a good one.
So you hear that, man? At least one fan.
Yeah.
Thinks we are the best podcast there is.
I agree with Boner. He's right on.
Boner?
That's did two
you say
fans.
Boner?
What did you say, Steven?
I agree with Boner.
Boner? Right, it's Connor.
I concur.
Well, that's two fans.
Two, yeah.
Connor and Stephen Hawking. Yeah.
So, yeah, Connor says, hey, here's what I'm saying about the content. Not enough of it, meaning not enough shows.
I can't Loves remember the original the question.
Well, we played one of his messages before, and he said there's not enough. Oh, no, I think it was an email. Merle or something.
And we said, wait, well, there's 3 hours. Man.
Yeah, what the fuck?
How could there not be enough content?
He meant not enough. We're not doing it enough.
Very good for clarifying that.
You can't get enough of John and Scott. And compared us to Ricky Gervais.
Ricky. Yeah. When you're a certain age, don't you drop the Y? I mean, wouldn't you want to be called Rick?
I don't know. Maybe it sets you apart.
Do people still call you Johnny?
They never called me Johnny in the first place. Scotters.
Right. Scotty. Scotters.
The papooch used to call you Scotters.
Yeah, Scotters.
So Scotters, what do you think,
man? That was a term of endearment.
80% of my money in stocks.
You shit stabber.
You shit stabber. Let me back up and rip my door off.
So I got Invention of Lying from Netflix. No, I'm sorry. Redbox, right?
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I got it. Do you want it? And you said no, because you already have it.
Yeah.
But you haven't watched it yet.
No, I haven't. I haven't had time.
It's good.
Here's the thing. In my house, my kids are hovering around me all the time, man. I mean, all the time. The wife and I did the wrong thing. I kind of suggested it over and over again just to get them away from me a little bit. I love them to death, but just sometimes they just annoy the shit out of me. Oh, we got a call. Oh, no, we don't have a call. Sorry. My bad.
False alarm.
False alarm.
They would have gotten to speak to Stephen Hawking.
That's right.
They're lost, John.
I got to make sure I got Stephen Hawking in the feed. There we go. He will be in the feed.
In the feed.
Yeah. So anyway, they're buzzing around me all the time. So I suggested to my wife, let's get them TVs for their rooms for Christmas. And I thought for sure I was going to get all kinds of shit about it. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's a great idea. Because they ask for them all the time. She says, no way. We want you to be part of the family. I guess she's had enough, too.
So wait a minute. Wait. So they have TVs?
They have.
They each have their own TV.
They each have their own flat screen DVD TV.
So hold on. So with text, cell phones, and with internets, they have controls. Are there controls on the TV? Or do they get to watch whatever they want?
They can watch whatever they want, but whatever they want, all it is regular basic cable. There's no...
So they can check out Tosh.0? Oh.
No, they can't.
Oh, that's not part of... Comedy Central's not part of basic cable?
Well, yeah, but it comes on so late that they can't watch it. It's on at like 10 or 10:30.
Oh, I see. And you didn't hook them up with TiVo?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, you gave them this and that. Why not some TiVo? No. I told you about the day I turned it on with the special ed and his wife and kids were over, mm-hmm. and I turned it on and that dog starts humping the lady.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And special ed's wife covered the daughter's eyes.
How old is the daughter?
I don't know, 5, 6.
5? Yeah. Well, yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know what I was thinking. I figured, you know, if they went to the zoo, they'd see something like that.
No, you go to the zoo, these animals are sleeping.
No, they're not.
They never hump each other,
dude,
at the zoo.
We went to the zoo once and this lion was going to town on the lioness. Hi. I mean, you can hear bed springs squeak and he was banging her so hard. I'm like, okay, kids, move along. Let's go to the net. But I'm like, should we... You know, what? It's nature, right?
It is nature.
Actually, my wife told me my son's getting the sex talk this... So is shitting.
You know, we don't let him watch scatological videos.
They don't see the dog shit in the front yard?
No.
No. Oh, look away. Dude, I mean, come on. There's like a... A video my kids watched. Everybody poops. Because the kids are so psychologically damaged the first time they realize something's coming out of them that big.
I don't poop.
You don't?
I guess not.
What do you do? Hello?
Hello.
No.
Okay, you heard it here. Stephen Hawking has found a way to not have to poop.
Maybe he'll put that in his next
He's
book.
He's probably got a colostomy bag.
I don't know.
You know, dude, I don't know how much time we've been on the air because I turned this on the minute we
That's
sat
correct,
down.
Son. What?
All right. So what are you saying? You want to go to break?
No. I just don't know when we started.
I think we started like 40 minutes ago.
Okay.
But what do I know?
What's wrong with you, man?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's this illness and these antibiotics.
I mean, the second you walked in, I could tell you weren't all here, man.
I'm not my normal self, John.
That's for sure.
I normally am, and we have the great Stephen Hawking here.
Yeah.
I should be excited.
Totally.
But...
you were really winded after we carried his chair down the stairs.
Yeah, I'm still... Especially when he fell out. I felt bad about that.
That's the second time, man. Remember last time?
Yeah. You should make him wear a helmet the next time.
Poor Steven. He'll feel it in the morning. Or not.
Fuck you.
Okay. Fuck you. Can you say that in Spanish?
I don't know.
Steven. You say it in Spanish?
Laughing out loud.
Can he just laugh? Can he go like, ha, 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 ha?
I don't know. I don't think he can.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
That's Spanish.
That's, I don't know. It says...
Does it say Spanish before he says it? Yeah. This is Spanish. Fuka yao. Sound like Chinese.
Did I say it says? Yeah. I meant he. He says yeah. It's Spanish.
That's not nice.
That is not nice. Sorry, Steven.
Hey, Steven. What's the hardest part of a vegetable to eat?
What?
What's the hardest part of a vegetable to eat?
The kumquat.
The what?
I don't know.
The wheelchair.
That's not funny.
It's a joke, man. Come on. It's a joke. I'm completely joking. I'm joking.
I see.
All right?
Yes.
Why'd you laugh then? That's not funny.
I don't know.
You know, I had a celebrity story, but I left it upstairs.
I have a celebrity story, John.
Yeah?
We've talked about Tiger Woods. We've had Tiger Woods on the show.
That's right.
Corey Rist, an exotic dancer and one of Tiger's many mistresses, came out. And she talks about meeting Tiger Woods. How many women are going to come out of the woodwork? Yeah. I mean, is this like we're in the 40s, aren't we?
Something like that.
Corey recalls the first night she met Tiger. He hit on her using an old off-color joke that she was stupid enough to fall for. Are you ready for Tiger's?
I'm ready. I'm sitting
okay,
down.
You're Tiger Woods. You're worth $1 billion. You're the best golfer on the planet. And here's how you approach a woman. What's this? He asked, rubbing the tips of his shoes together. A black guy taking off his condom.
Oh, my God.
But she goes on to describe the sex as passionate fireworks. And she also told the magazine that afterward, Tiger liked to eat Fruit Loops and watch cartoons. Well, think about it. I mean, if I would, I'm not saying that I would, you know, do what all the stuff he's doing.
Take your condom off with the tips of your shoes.
Right, but if I'm the world's greatest golfer and I make $1 billion, I'm going to eat Fruit Loops and watch cartoons too. Aren't you?
I don't know about Fruit Loops. Maybe I'm a Lucky Charms guy.
Yeah, Lucky Charms are good.
I love the Lucky Charms, man. It's like the only cereal I can eat. I take that back. I kind of like the Cinnamon Toasties too.
Cinnamon Toasties. Yeah. I've never had those. My favorite of all time was Quisp, but I can't find that anymore.
They still have it.
Cap'n Crunch with Crunch Berry, Lucky Charms.
The
Fruit
Cap'n
Loops.
Crunch like hurts the upper part of my mouth.
Nah, big wuss.
Like it turned. It's like sandpaper.
I like all of them.
Do you? You don't like Cinnamon Toasties?
No, I've never had that.
Oh, they're great, man.
When did you get a vagina done?
What?
A vagina?
A vagina?
When did you get a vagina done?
Done? What the fuck is... What is he drunk? Is that what he talks like when he's drunk? They have Cinnamon Toasty recipes, Scott. Yeah. Oh, no, that's not the cereal. I don't know what they're called. I think they're Cinnamon Toasties or Cinnamon Crisps. I don't know. I like them, though. They don't irritate my stomach like, like you said... with the gluten intolerance.
Yeah. Gluten intolerance.
Yeah. There's some cereals that bug me like that, but those cinnamon ones, they don't. I think because they're rice.
Sugar Smacks. I like those.
Sugar Smacks. What was it?
My computer only has 9 minutes of power and I forgot my charger.
What? Okay, so we spent 3 hours getting him down here, and his computer only has 9 minutes. You forgot your charger?
Oh, my God. Come on, man.
Well, maybe we should get the science news.
I am sorry.
All right.
Right now.
Right now, before he...
So Stephen came by because he's got
Please
a new book.
Me.
He's got a TV
Please
show. Yeah,
me.
Okay.
Okay, shut up
he's
already.
He's got a TV show. And he wanted to talk about something science related. So, all right, Stephen, are you ready? We're going to give you the floor. You're going to be able to tell us what's going on with you in the science, in the scientific community, if you will, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The universe has 100 billion galaxies, each containing hundreds of millions of stars. In such a big place, Earth is unlikely to be the...
What?
Uh-oh, did his...
his battery just went out.
The universe has 100 billion galaxies, each containing hundreds of millions of stars. In such a big...
All right. Are you going to be able to come back next week? Hold on.
The universe has 100 billion galaxies, each containing hundreds of millions of stars. In such a big place, Earth is unlikely to be the only planet where life has evolved.
Oh, I get it. So he's saying that there's life on other planets, and we've heard that. We've heard that in the news that you said that we don't want to mess with the aliens.
Yeah, because they're obviously fucked up their own place. That's why they're flying around.
Yeah.
They're desperate. They'll come here like locusts.
I suspect there could be life and intelligence out there in forms we can't even see.
God damn it.
I suspect there could be life and intelligence out there in forms we can't conceive. Just as a chimpanzee, or Deepak Chopra for that matter, can't he understand quantum theory, it could be there are aspects of reality that are beyond the capacity of our brains.
Right.
Right,
you get that, John?
Yeah, I got it. Deepak Chopra.
Deepak Chopra. All right. He's getting his next thought together.
He's blinking away.
La, 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 la.
And you know what? If aliens ever visit us, I think the outcome would be much as when Christopher Columbus first landed in America, which didn't turn out very well for the Native Americans, unless you consider the amount of money they make on casinos laughing out loud.
Yeah, then they spend it right away, too.
I didn't know that. What do they spend it on?
Cars and beer. Most of the get, you know, and they don't pay taxes. And you've been to Arizona.
Yeah.
The houses that some of these Native Americans live in are just shacks. And as soon as they get a check, they go out and pay cash and buy a truck. You know, they don't, they're a little fucked up, man. And when they get drunk so quickly and easily that they're hard, it's really hard to deal with.
Yeah, his computer went out.
He's done.
He's done.
What about his life support?
No, that's
I hope
fine.
That battery's not hooked to both.
Life support seems fine.
Oh my God.
The fuck? An asshole.
What are you blaming him for? It's not like he could reach back and switch the supply out or put his own is it on the stairs there? Maybe he fell out of his shirt pocket as he fell off the wheelchair.
All right. Maybe he can come next week to finish his thoughts. All right, so where were we? So he was talking about aliens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to celebrity news. Oh, for crying out loud.
What?
I'll tell you after the show. I think he just shit himself. Come on. I thought he didn't poop either. Or was that you?
No, I didn't do anything.
All right, so Tiger, yes, Tiger was Mel Gibson in the news, John. Mel Gibson.
Oh, really?
He split from his girlfriend and baby mama, Oksana Grigorieva, last month. You know, he left his wife for this woman.
Yeah, what a douche.
After that, the actor has said he wants to get back together with his wife of nearly 30 years. Mel apparently is full of regret for leaving Robin for another woman. A source explains he's still in love with Robin. He realizes he made a huge mistake leaving her. Robin is not only the mother of his 7 children, she's been a major source of strength for Mel throughout his life. Without her around, we're worried he'll fall to pieces. So,
boo-hoo.
Right, boo-hoo. I mean, this guy's an adult. It's not like he's 2 years old.
The story I was going to bring down from people is about Jesse James. He's trying to get his shit together and try and rekindle his marriage.
Oh, that's over.
And I guess he like shoved a roughed up a cameraman. And then he came back out a day later and was like, yeah, I'm sorry, man. I don't want people to think I'm an asshole.
Too late.
So he's trying to, you know, fix his image.
I read something today where Sandra Bullock says she's moving and she's never going to make another movie again. She wants out of Hollywood. I don't know what source it was, but she's pretty... not only that, she adopted this kid, right?
Yeah.
And now she's getting shit for adopting a kid. She's getting criticism for that.
Oh, that's just ridiculous.
People chill out, all right?
Yeah, relax.
It's America's sweetheart.
No doubt.
She got her heart ripped out.
Yeah.
Why is she even with this guy anyway?
No doubt.
For 5 years. I don't know.
She's... Where did they meet? Was she at a West Coast chopper buying a chopper?
No, I think she was. Yeah, they were filming the show, and her niece or nephew or something wanted to see it, wanted to be there and check it out. And I think something like that brought her on set, and they met, and she played hard to get, and he doesn't like that, you know. So he pursued her. And,
he doesn't like it, so he pursued her?
Well,
if he didn't like it, he'd be like, yeah, fuck that.
No, it's what I mean. He doesn't like to be, you know, he's a hunter.
He's a hunter.
So
yeah.
He has to, you know, he has to pounce on the kill. And he felt he didn't get the right opportunity, so he pursued her because he's a winner, you know. So, well... I guess that could be whatever, debated. And then he talked to her agent or producer or something and got information about her, and they courted for a long period of time before she actually let him in her pants.
That's a nice way to put it.
Well, that's basically what happened. That's what he talked about on Howard Stern.
Nice.
So,
well, Mel wants his wife back. And, you know, I would like to see a Mel Gibson fall to pieces. I wonder what that would look like. I mean, did he have it all together when he was calling the cop sugar tits? And I mean, was that when he had it? Everything was going on.
I don't know why you got to mess with Mel. Remember, Jackie Mason came out in his defense.
Yeah, yeah. Jackie Mason. Yeah.
Mel
all right,
Gibson.
John.
Yeah.
I got some religious stuff, but do we want to take a break and then...
Yeah, let's take a break real quick so you can get your faculties together.
Yeah, and then we can get Steven
slap the shit out of you.
Let's get him out of here. I'm tired of looking at him. He disgusts me. He doesn't even bring a power pack.
We'll just leave him outside. It's not too cold. All right, we got some stuff from practice. We got Working for the Weekend and Smooth Criminal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up right here on John and Scott.
Yeah.
I'm John.
I'm Scott.
This is Working for the Weekend. A Total Talk Nonsense. We'll be right back.
Trying to get it right. Everybody's working for the weekend.
So she ran into the bedroom. She was struck down. It was her doom.
Total Talk Nonsense. John and Scott, I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
How about that, man?
That's great. Great. We didn't have time to get Stephen Hawking upstairs, so he's still with us. It's like we'll have to do that after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot to ask him if he needed water or anything. He should be okay.
Yeah, just leave a bowl on the floor. You can crawl over.
Yeah.
Not nice.
John.
You guys were idiots.
Did you hear that Obama signed the annual proclamation last weekend inviting Americans of all religious stripes to pray on Thursday?
Yeah.
2010 National Day of Prayer.
What the fuck is up with that?
Well, it's something we've always had, and I guess some federal judge declared it unconstitutional.
Yeah, in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin. But Obama said that we should have one of these national days of prayer because one of the great things about this country is you have the freedom to practice whatever religion you want. And so we're just acknowledging that you're praying that God could be the flying spaghetti monster for all I care.
Yeah.
I don't give a crap. And it's easier for me to sign this thing to... than to take all the BS from these lunatics that would get their panties in a bunch if we didn't have one.
However, they don't hold any official prayer day observance at the White House.
No, which they used to.
The W did.
Under the W. Well, yeah, W spoke to God, man.
No, God spoke to him.
I got that wrong.
He just listened.
W may have spoke to God. We don't know.
But we know God spoke to him because he said so.
That's right.
Yeah, he told me to go to war with Saddam.
God told me.
Sodom. Yeah.
Anyway, there was a poll in the USA Today, a Gallup poll. Americans are overwhelmingly sure there's a God who answers prayers. Are you ready for these numbers, John?
Oh, no.
Let me find them. 92% say there is a God.
See if you can look them up on Stephen Hawking's computer.
92% say there is a God, and 83% say this God answers prayers.
Nice.
That is nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there is some group claiming, I don't know who they are, but they're claiming that because they got together and they prayed, because of their prayer, the bomber, the New York City bomber.
Yeah.
God answered the prayer by not detonating that bomb. And they're taking credit for that.
Oh, man.
Because of their prayers. Yeah, it couldn't be because the guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that couldn't be the case. For most 18 and 29-year-olds, it could be the national day of whatever. 59% said it doesn't matter. Those in most strongly favor the national day of prayer are Republicans, 76%. Women 50 and older, 71%. Midwesterners, 71%. And Southerners, 63%. Boy, that doesn't seem right, does it? More Midwesterners favor it than Southerners?
Really?
Yeah, that just doesn't seem right.
No.
It doesn't seem right.
No, because I don't think there's a whole lot of those crazy Baptist ministries or the evangelicals here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I question the whole poll now. The whole poll.
It's a bunch of shit.
In other religious news, John, Pope Benedict all but gave an outright endorsement of the authenticity of the Shroud of Turin on Sunday, calling the cloth that some believe is Christ's burial shroud an icon written with the blood of a crucified man. During a visit to the shroud in northern Italy, Benedict didn't raise the scientific questions that surround the linen and whether it might be a medieval forgery. Instead, he delivered a powerful meditation on the faith that holds that the shroud is indeed Christ's burial cloth. "This is the burial cloth that wrapped the remains of a crucified man in full correspondence with what the gospel tells us of Jesus."
Yeah, anything to get him off of the rolls about pedophilia.
"This relic, John, is one of the most important in Christianity. It should be seen as a photographic document of the darkest mystery of faith, that of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection." That's according to Benedict.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's a joke. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Some other pope, some guy, not pope, not another pope, some other bishop from... Cardinal, whatever these guys are, from Brazil.
It's all based on their hats.
Said that it's not... teenagers are latently homosexual. Everybody's homosexual when they're teenagers. So... it's not a big deal what's going on in the church. Because all kids are homos.
You know, I watched a documentary today about, the end of it anyway, about Simon of Perea.
Simon?
I told you a little bit about that earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A tablet known as the Gabriel's Revelation was likely found near the Dead Sea sometime around the year 2000. It has been associated with the same community which created the Dead Sea Scrolls and mentions Simon. And Simon of Perea, or Simon of Joseph, was a former slave of Herod the Great, King Herod the Great, who rebelled and was killed by the Romans in 4 BC. He's mentioned by Flavius Josephus, who is a historian. And this guy wrote more about the Simon of Perea than the one sentence he wrote about Jesus.
What was the one sentence he wrote about Jesus?
I don't remember, but all I know is that some
He is risen?
Yeah.
Is that what he wrote?
No. They talk about some figure that was a Christian, that the Christians followed. They didn't actually say Christians, but a new some prophet. I don't think he mentions Jesus by name, but Eusebius even kind of admitted that when he was one of the bishops back in the day before the Council of Nice, he said that sometimes you got to manipulate history to get people to follow the right path. So some believe he's the one who put those words in the historical record, Josephus's historical record.
I see.
But this guy, his name is Israel Knoll, reads the inscription on this tablet as a command from the angel Gabriel to rise from the dead within 3 days. He takes this command to be directed at a first century Jewish rebel called Simon, who was killed, as I said, in 4 BC. In Knoll's view, the finding calls for a complete reassessment of all previous scholarship on the subject of messianism, Jewish and Christian alike. And the name of the National Geographic documentary was called The First Jesus? Is a question mark. The First Jesus? And what he is saying is that this Simon of Perea was basically the myth about this guy was he was rebelled against the Romans and he tried to get people to rise up and fight the Romans, and he knew he was going to be killed. He was killed, and Jesus knew of this story. And is this, there's a whole like crazy whatever myth behind it that he was supposed to rise from the dead and get everybody all jazzed up. Well, Jesus knew of the story, and he brought the story with him to Jerusalem at the time of Passover, and decided to take, you know, follow this path, and then give his own life in sacrifice to get everybody jazzed up. And you know, with the money changers flipping the tables over. Some people think he walked in there and he was amazed to see that here's this great town that he heard about, and it's all a bunch of priests and all that manipulating people to take their money. And he just couldn't believe that there was no spirituality. Whereas others say, yeah, how stupid could you be? Everybody knew that. You know, that was going on. Mm-hmm. That was a way of survival, you know, and he made, and the other thing was he made a big scene on purpose, because he knew if he flipped these tables over of the money changers that he'd get a lot of attention, and they'd grab him and crucify him. It was a pretty interesting documentary.
History Channel, you say?
No, National Geographic Channel.
That might be available online, John.
They even showed how the crucifixion, they don't believe the way it's depicted to everyone is correct. They believe the nails through the wrists were correct. They could have been correct. But the nails in the feet, they show usually on a crucifix, the feet 1 foot over the other with a single nail through the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one single heel bone with a nail still in it. And then what they believe actually happened was they nailed the feet to either side of the upright piece of the cross that they were crucified on.
The upright piece of the cross.
Yeah,
that
so
throws me when you say that.
Well, there's a piece that goes...
the vertical, the pole.
Vertical, yeah, the pole.
That'd be a good Mythbusters.
So they put the foot on either side of the pole.
Yes.
And they nail into each heel. And according to some, they took some cadavers and they nailed some heels.
Oh, they have already done Mythbusters on it then.
Yeah. To see that there's no blood loss when you nail through the heel, because there's no major arteries there like there is in the top of the foot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's meant to hurt a lot. They showed all these nerve endings that go right into the heel, but it's not meant to bleed. The way they talk about it, it's like, this is a horrible way. Horrible. You know, could you imagine?
Well, speaking about the money changers, I read today that America last year spent $115 billion. Spent is probably not the right word. Gave $115 billion to religious institutions, churches, whatever. $115 billion.
Yeah, and the government's giving them money, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that fucking just frosts my nuts when I hear that. That the government gives churches money. What the fuck? The W.
Yeah, and how much taxes did they pay?
None.
None. It makes me want to cry like this. Going on in there?
I'm crying. Just thinking about it, man. It kills me.
All right, let's turn to science news then.
I thought we did science news.
No, we had to cut to science news, and then his laptop went out. So I brought some science news in. I wanted to have him here to discuss our science stories. He had some science stories he was going to present. That's how it was supposed to work,
right,
but he threw off the whole rhythm of the show. So, John.
Yeah.
They did a study, and being in the presence of an attractive woman sends a man's stress levels to dangerous heights. I really enjoyed how they set this study up. Researchers at Spain's University of Valencia paid 84 male college students $20 to participate. They were told they would be involved in solving Sudoku puzzles. Is that how you say it? Sudoku?
Yeah.
Sudoku? That, however, was a cover to have the guy spend 5 minutes alone in a room with a pretty woman who presumably was also there to do Sudokus.
Nice.
The subject's level of cortisol, a hormone released in response to stress, was tested before and after the interaction. The researchers concluded that when in the presence of a desirable female, the average male's production of cortisol shoots up by roughly the same amount as it would if he were in the process of jumping from an airplane.
Oh, what? Oh, my God.
What kind of guys are they getting in there? I mean, would that really intimidate you? I mean, at a subconscious level, I guess, maybe?
That she was just sitting there?
Yeah, so you're brought into a room to do Sudoku puzzles. You walk in and there's an attractive woman. And you're in this room for 5 minutes trying to solve a puzzle.
No. It wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother me either.
I'd be like, hey, what's up, man?
I'm surprised of jumping out of an airplane. That would bother me. Jumping out of an airplane. I would definitely be bothered by that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be bothered by walking in a room and taking a puzzle.
Yeah.
Or doing a puzzle. So what? Who are these 84 guys that all completely wigged out?
This shit, though. Yeah, while I'm trying to do Sudoku puzzle. I mean, I'd be a little distracted.
Yeah, but your cortisol wouldn't shoot up.
No,
would it?
Yeah, if that was going on, I'd be a little distracted.
A short, extreme burst of cortisol can be bad for the heart, John. Chronic exposure can lead to adult diabetes and impotency. John, even though Stephen Hawking's laptop crapped out on him, he still has headphones on. And it just doesn't seem appropriate to play that type of... to have that type of programming when Stephen Hawking is joining us here.
I'm so sorry.
Because I'm the one who sits in the room with him. You're in a different room. That's all. That's all I had for science, John.
That's out of sight.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, hey.
Hold on. Let me get the door.
Got it?
Yeah, I'll get it.
Whoops. We should just quit while we're at 2 hours later.
Hey, man.
I'm back. Hey, don't trip over those cords.
Or that PC with no battery in it.
Oh, Phil's going to have to sit on my lap again.
Oh.
Stephen Hawking is in his spot. Well, let me just... I'm just going to get up and he can sit here. Hold on.
Oh, thank you, Scott. It's great to see the great Stephen Hawking. I'm a big fan of his. It's been a while since I met him. It's good to see you again. You're looking well as somebody in your condition could look, I guess. But really, it's an honor and a pleasure to be in the same room with you.
Is he winking at you?
Yes, he is winking at me.
He's trying to communicate. That's all that is.
I cannot read Morse code, though. What a pleasure, though. That's why I like to do. That's why I like to be a part of this show, John. Because you had Tiger Woods in a couple weeks ago. You got the great Stephen Hawking.
Lots of great guests on the show. Yeah, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt, John.
I'm ready when you're ready.
Now with your award-winning.
Actually, I'm not ready.
You're not ready. Okay.
I'm not ready.
We should have went to see a movie. It was
Yeah, Phil's he's scrambling around the floor here. He's looking for something.
Did he fall down the stairs? What happened?
No. Billy, all right. What are you doing?
Well, I only seem to have one coffee. I'm wondering if my printer ran out of paper.
So it's going to be a real short news segment.
I'm wondering if my printer ran out of paper.
Tetanus.
And it only printed.
No, Scott. Okay.
One page of news. Hold on, let me check my briefcase.
Oh my God, my face hurts, man. Wait a minute, hold on.
All right, I'm back. No, it was just a, it was human error, John, on my part. It was in my briefcase. You'll be glad to know that all 5 pages of news were in my briefcase. I only pulled out the first page. I was so excited to see Stephen Hawking.
When he was crawling on the floor, did Stephen try to mount him?
That's not funny.
I agree. That's not very funny at all. Did you write that?
Were you at the show on Saturday?
Actually, I couldn't make the show.
Didn't see a guy with a fur coat on.
No,
there.
I didn't make the show, no. But I did have the opportunity to run into your number one fan at the Rand Roadhouse, where I was getting a Euro panini. And he proceeded to tell me what a great show it was and how you guys saved his life. And he's very appreciative of that. Yes.
Out of sight.
All right, John.
Are you ready?
This time I am ready. And I can say I'm always ready, John. I'm always ready.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Your first story tonight. A woman, John, discovers she has two vaginas. It was her first pap smear test, and the Singaporean in her mid-20s didn't expect any surprises. But what was to have been a routine five-minute checkup last month turned complicated, and she discovered that she had two vaginas. The discovery was also a first for her doctor. Dr. Ching Jing Jai, the medical director of the Obstetrics and Gynecology Center in Paragon Medical, had never encountered such a case.
Oh, look here, you have two vaginas.
In her 13 years of practice. The discovery was made after the young woman was physically examined and had a 3D ultrasound scan for abnormalities of the womb. Fortunately, despite having two vaginas and two cervixes, her womb was fine. Still, the news came as a blow for the woman, Dr. Chi said. The distraught woman declined to be interviewed by yours truly. Dr. Chi said that one of the first questions she asked was, am I normal? The doctor, who is in her 30s, assured her that her condition isn't life-threatening and will have no major impact on her life. Next story, John.
You have double womb service.
Seattle police, John. Seattle police caught on camera threatening to beat the Mexican piss out of a man. No word yet on how they knew he had been drinking Corona. Next story, John. Whatever his reasoning, a man thought it was wise to tattoo a toddler's bottom. And it wasn't even his child. Now the 21-year-old Louisville man has learned his punishment. He is sentenced Wednesday to 3 years in prison. A guy named Dietrich pleaded guilty in Stark County Common Pleas Court to two felony child endangering charges as part of a plea deal with the county prosecutors. Dietrich tattooed the outline of the letter A on the child's rear end. The mark covers about 1/2 inch. The mother, a friend of Dietrich's, left her 19-month-old at Dietrich's house for a few hours while she visited a friend in the hospital. One of the child's relatives, 17-year-old Brandy Nelson, held the girl across her lap while Dietrich tattooed her. I don't know whose idea it was. It was late in the evening. Apparently, somebody thought it was a good idea. Next story, John. Financial stuff happening in Europe as well. Over the head of this award-winning reporter, John. In related news, Germany refuses to turn its back on Greece. Next story, John.
Did you write that?
Oberman gets his panties in a bunch over Obama joke. President Barack Obama joked Saturday that he would use predator drones to kill the Jonas Brothers if they tried to court his daughters. One newsman who is known for praising the president isn't laughing. MSNBC's Keith Olbermann said Monday Obama's joke went too far. During his second appearance at the annual White House Correspondents Association dinner Saturday, Obama said, Jonas Brothers are here. They're out there somewhere. Sasha and Mila are huge fans, but boys, don't get any ideas. Two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming. You think I'm joking? The quip has been compared to a joke by President George W. Bush a previous year, making light of the fact that WMDs were never found in Iraq. Next story, John.
The difference is the Daily Show wrote his stuff.
Great news, John. Great news. Southwest Texas residents. A geology professor says you probably don't have to worry about uranium in your drinking water. Keyword being probably. Next story, John. Drunk, naked, and in a stranger's hot tub is no way to go through life. This is right from around the corner, John. A recent visit from a real-life Goldilocks left a Naperville couple wondering, who's been soaking in our hot tub? The alleged culprit, Brian J. Haney, a 30-year-old Lyle resident, for reasons unknown, parked his car at the couple's driveway and knocked out the window before stripping naked and submerging himself in the outdoor hot tub, according to the Naperville police. Police quickly fished Haney out of the water. Sergeant Greg Bell said Friday a drunken and generally perplexed Haney then asked officers what the problem was. Haney, at that point, apparently removed all of his clothing and secreted himself in the hot tub, which was filled with water. He submerged himself, and our officers had to find him underwater. They took him to the police station and called a tow truck to remove his vehicle from the driveway. He is free on bail. His arraignment date is pending. Next story, John. Championship hacky sack player arrested for using his hands. Greg Nelson of Ann Arbor was charged with four counts of criminal sexual conduct in a second degree. The 42-year-old is the world champion hacky sack player. His alleged victim, a 17-year-old girl, waited nearly 7 years to report the crime. Police say Nelson allegedly molested the girl for several years, starting when she was 4 years old. In related news, hacky sack has champions. Next story, John. Texas man tries to kill his ex-wife with a bomb made from salad bowls. A Texas man tries to kill his wife, ex-wife, John, with a bomb made from salad bowls.
Nice.
Promptly gets tossed in jail. Next story, John. Jesus Christ may be the Son of God and have the ability to walk on water, but he can't cross a Massachusetts crosswalk without getting hit by a car. The victim may have forgiven the woman who ran him down in Massachusetts, but police haven't. Police say a Pittsfield woman has been cited for running down a man named Lord Jesus Christ as he crossed the street in Northampton on Tuesday. Pardon me. The 50-year-old man is from Belchertown. Belchertown? Officers checked his ID and discovered that indeed his legal name is Lord Jesus Christ. He was taken to the hospital for treatment of minor facial injuries. Police say the 20-year-old Brittany Cantrella was cited for failing to yield to a pedestrian at a crosswalk. Next story, John. TSA screeners deploy nude body scanners in a professional, competent manner. Just kidding. They get in a fight after making fun of each other's penis size. Next story, John. A man has died after a fall from the top of a van. A Schofield man who fell off the top of a van in Rib Mountain has died, John. A Marathon County Medical Examiner's Office said Thursday that 33-year-old Matthew Fitzwater died of blunt trauma to the head and neck. Fitzwater and another person were carrying a box spring and mattress on top of the van on Wednesday afternoon when the ropes fastening them down came undone. Authorities say Fitzwater tried to sit on top of the mattresses to hold them down, but he was blown off and he hit his head on the pavement. Next story, John.
Oh my God. What state was that again?
That is Rib Mountain. Rib Mountain. Where is that? Rib Mountain.
I don't know.
Is that Wisconsin?
South. I don't know.
Next story, John. Officer in Salt Lake City learns the hard way not to roll down the back of the window of his patrol car, no matter how hot and sweaty his suspect in the back says he is. Think about it. Next and last story. Parents don't think own teens are having sex. Study suggests most moms, dads, have a hard time grasping kids' sexuality. In related news, water is still wet and the sun doesn't get cooler at night. And that's the news. Like a John. Thank you, Scott.
It's a pleasure to see you again, Stephen.
Yes, sir, Mr. Hawking, Dr. Hawking. I wish I could stay, but I gotta go. Later.
All right.
Oh, man. So a couple of things, closing thoughts, Scott.
Yes. Closing thoughts.
Andrew and I have been bantering back and forth because I've been posting some links to like that Matt Kaiser guy and Alan Grayson.
Yes. And Andrew, UK, is into finance. Is he not?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes across as one of those guys that you say black and he says white. You say on and he says off. And
you mean like a guy who can argue about dog poop?
Yeah.
That kind
you
of a guy?
You say up and he says down. Because some of the revelations coming out in the Goldman Sachs thing and just some other stuff. Like Alan Grayson was talking about, he's a Democrat senator. He's kind of this guy that's been causing some shit in Congress. And he did this little presentation that we all own the Red Roof Inn now because of some bullshit dealings where they, with the credit default swaps and all that stuff, where they, some businessmen, foreign businessmen own a chain of hotels. One of them happens to be Red Roof Inn, and it's not making shit for money, and they want to try and figure out a way to get some other sucker to take it. And there's $186 million worth of worthless stock that needs to be sold, or somebody to take on this debt or whatever it is. And it just so happens that when the TARP checks got handed out, they found a way that the federal government, which is the Fed, actually, the Fed ended up eating the $186 million, which is added onto our tax bill and our kids and all that. And what Andrew was saying, well, how would you like it? Would you rather people get kicked out of their homes, you know, and the bank forecloses on their homes, they get kicked out, and then they just push the prices down till the house is worthless? And
what and, people? I'm confused. You're talking banks, about the Red bank, Roof Inn.
The banks. Well, he kind of like bounced around. And I'm like, no, I agree that like our politicians are worthless and they don't have the balls to do anything. But at some point, we got to stop this, you know, privatizing the profits of these capitalist vultures and socializing the risk, all the debt, everything. They want to be capitalists on the way up, but they don't want to be capitalists on the way down. So there's no failure. They're all too big to fail. Everybody gets money except for us suckers. We have to pay for everything.
Right.
You know, I had said probably last week or so that, you know, most corporations don't pay any corporate tax. They pay like 2.2% of the GDP, whereas other countries pay like 3, 4, 5% of the gross domestic product. We don't even have gross domestic product. We don't make anything anymore. And instead of the TARP funds going into the hands of business owners that actually make shit, it went to banks that come up with these financial fabrications.
Yeah.
These financial ghosts. And Alan Grayson's whole argument was we need to stop and we need to audit the Fed and find out what is really, pull back the curtain, unveil what's really going on. We need some transparency. But I think they're so afraid of everybody finding out that the fact that it's 100 billion times worse than we're finding out,
mm-hmm,
that everything will just totally collapse.
Mm.
So there's a major moral dilemma going on. One of the things I found out this last week was that GM came out with this commercial where the CEO at GM is telling everybody that they paid down their debt. Well, it turns out that they paid down their debt out of an escrow account of TARP funds that they were already given by the government.
So they used our money to pay their debt. And now they're telling us that.
But they didn't say.
Did they give
like
a thank you or anything?
No,
in there?
They just say that they came up with the plan to pay down the debt. And at the end, they will still owe us $30 million. Well, I'm sorry. Here's the last. I'll read this story, real quick story. As we inch closer to a clear understanding of the products and practices that unleashed the credit crisis of 2008, it's becoming apparent that those seeking the whole truth are still outnumbered by those aiming to obscure it. This is the case not only on Wall Street, but also in Washington. Truth seekers the nation over, therefore, are indebted to Senator Charles E. Grassley, a Republican of Iowa, who in recent days uncovered what he called a government-enabled TARP money shuffle. It relates to General Motors, which on April 21st paid the balance of its $6.7 billion loan under the Troubled Asset Relief Program, which is also known as TARP. GM trumpeted its escape from the program as evidence that it had turned the corner in its operations. GM is able to repay the taxpayers in full with interest ahead of schedule because more customers are buying vehicles like the Chevy Malibu and Buick LaCrosse, boasted Edward E. Whitaker Jr., its CEO. So taxpayers are naturally eager for news about bailout repayments, but what neither GM nor the Treasury disclosed was that the company simply used other funds held by the Treasury to pay off its original loan. So they unveiled this whole thing. This Grassley wrote a letter to Geithner on the 22nd saying, hey, I'm concerned about this. It smells like shit. This is a bunch of shit, what's going on. We're not stupid. We can learn as we go. This is all a bunch of crap. In the end, Scott, Grassley says, much of it will never be repaid. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that taxpayers will lose around $30 billion on GM.
Just on GM.
Yeah. And so Andrew's argument is basically, and I appreciate the argument because it does hold a lot of weight. If you don't bail them out, there's going to be thousands of workers out of a job, and then they'll, you know, can't pay their mortgage and they'll get foreclosed on. And what do you do? The problem I have is that guys like you, me, everybody else, we got to pay 5-6 whatever percent to get a house loan, but banks are getting loans for 0%. Zero. Mm-hmm. They don't have to pay any interest to the Fed. But has the interest rate come down for homeowners? No. Has it come down to get a loan for your business? No. Has it come down to get a loan for a car? No. The people that are actually making money and making stuff that we trade our money for aren't getting any fucking help. The banks are, and GM is, and this and that. So it's basically a bubble that's going to compound, and I bet it's going to fucking crash again.
Yeah. It's depressing.
It's horrible. So anyway, that's my final word for this week. And we have another call from earlier this week.
Yes.
From our buddy, I think it's Pat McGroin. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Hey, John and Scott, Pat McGroin. Great show. Excellent. 196 is fantastic. John, I don't know what chemical balance you were on at that point on Sunday night or whenever you guys recorded, but that was perfect. You were spot on, funny. Breaking balls. It was great. Great job. Not too drunk, not too straight. Perfect. You too, Scott. Nice job. Yeah, just one quick thing. If you want to get caught up on Breaking Bad, it's on AMC, and it's the same network that carries Mad Men. If you ever watch Mad Men, good show, really good show. And there was one other thing you guys discussed. Oh, you guys, what you guys missed in the last couple of weeks was Larry King. You guys didn't break balls on Larry King.
Good stuff.
Oh, and one other thing.
Forgot about Larry.
The reason why there's the spill is because the oil companies lobbied not to have this thing inserted into the base of where the drill goes into the sand, into the bottom of the ocean. They lobbied not to get have to put this special safety valve. What happens is when there's an explosion and the valve spews oil all over the place, there's a sonic noise that they can make from a boat that will shut the thing off automatically, and it costs $500,000. So they didn't want to do it. The W signed off on it.
Cheney.
W.
Cheney.
And the countries in the North Atlantic, like that drill for oil in the ocean up there, like Norway and up that way,
they all have it.
They're required to have it. But not here in the United States. Nice job, W. Dummy. Guys, good job again. Take it easy. And chances are you're not going to podcast on Mother's Day. There's no way. After Scott walking a zillion miles in Michigan and then doing the doing his concert on Saturday night, there's no way you're doing a show on Sunday. So I'll see you guys a couple weeks later.
Ha! Ha! How about that?
Wrong again.
Well, that's only because...
You didn't walk a zillion miles?
No, I never went to Michigan.
Aha.
The in-laws came over. They picked up my daughter. She walked 3 miles, but the wife and I stayed home because of our sinus infections.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, your wife has one too.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those suck, man.
Yeah. It's my first one.
Oh, I've had tons of them. They're horrible.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I mean, you bend over to tie your shoes and you feel like... something's trying to escape.
That's why I put slippers
on. Ah, that's great. All right, well, I think we're done, right?
I think so.
All right, that's all the time we have this week.
Stephen Hawking may be back next week if he can get his battery thing sorted out. And if he's still in town, I don't even know if he'll still be here.
I'll get him a better cable to hook his battery up there. PC up to.
And maybe maybe he can't get out like Stefan. He's stuck. So
stuck.
Maybe he'll stay at my house.
Oh, nice. You could spoon with him too. And spray his cologne around and sniff it.
Oh.
All right. That's it. 197 in the can.
Three more till 200, John.
That's right.
We got to think of something to do for 200, don't we? Or is it just going to be the same
thing? We won't make it
to
200. It'll be 199. You go, oh, we got summer hiatus, member. Member?
Maybe.
No doubt.
All right. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Say goodnight, Scott.
Goodnight, Scott.
Listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.